The Campbell Group has teamed up with PI Perspectives to offer listeners top-notch, affordable insurance solutions. Private investigators can get insurance for their business for as low as $305 per year. Apply now at PIPerspectivesInsurance.com and receive a quote back within 24 hours. Over the past year, our industry has been the target of foreign governments and agencies that have attempted to recruit unsuspecting investigators to gather intelligence or immediate expatriates. PI Perspectives is teaming up with the Federal Bureau of Investigations to get the word out about this ongoing crisis. If you've been contacted by an individual or company that might seem suspicious, please contact the FBI at tips.fbi.gov. You can also contact the New York field office at 212-384-1000 to report suspicious activity in any state. The link is also in the show notes. Even if you completed a job and it still doesn't sit right with you, you can report this activity. The only way to stop this trend is to work together. So let's do it. Do you enjoy our podcast and the guests we bring you? Since 2019, Matt and his team have done their very best to give you amazing shows each week. If you feel like our show has helped you to be a better investigator, or maybe even inspired you to become an investigator, please let us know. We're looking for testimonials. Drop Matt an email with a recorded 20 to 30 seconds of you talking about this podcast. You can also email him something verbal about the website. His email is matthews@satellitepi.com. And if you really feel blessed for having this content, consider supporting Matt and our show by joining Investigator's Toolbox. You really have to see version 2.0. And at just 49 cents a day, it's a no-brainer. Now let's jump in to this week's episode. On today's show, we welcome Kent Harris. This is a best of from 2021. It was a great conversation about workplace violence investigations. Now more than ever, this is a hot topic. So learn more about how to do these types of investigations. And please welcome Ken Harris and your host, private investigator Matt Spare.
And welcome everybody to this week's episode of PI Perspectives. This is Matt Spare, your host. Well, today we're dipping into the polar vortex. I asked Ken Harris to come along. Kent and I hooked up a couple weeks ago. I had thrown a question out, I think, on IntelliNet, and he responded, and we just started chatting, and I got to understand what he does, and I said, hey, will you please come on my show? Today, we're going to talk about workplace violence and how to mitigate that. That's one of his specialties. So, Ken, I want to welcome you to the program. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You got it, man. So, polar vortex, what's going on where you're at?
It won't stop snowing, and we can't seem to get the temperature up out of the basement. And when I say basement, it's like, I think we're getting a high today of 6. Wow. So, yeah, it's got a wind chill attached to it because this is Kansas and the wind blows out here.
Right.
So, it's going to be a minus something today. So the best place to be is right here at the desk.
There you go. Welcome to February. This is crazy.
We're just waiting for spring. It's got to be here soon.
There you go. So you're Harris Associated Consulting. So tell me a little bit about how you got into the business and what your background is.
Well, we started to form the company back in 2012. That's when we incorporated it. And at that particular time, I was working as a contractor for the U.S. Department of State in the diplomatic security area. And my wife kind of mentioned to me, she goes, gee, why aren't you doing here in the United States what you're doing overseas? And I said, well, there are some things I can do here in the United States that, you know, I can probably make this a go, but there are some of the other things I can't do. And so we've just focused on the investigative side of a lot of things and trying to work with schools and universities and corporations to make sure that they have what we like to call ourselves as giving you a legally defensible position to be in.
Okay. So really a good bulk of your business then is a whole mitigation of risk, right? That's kind of
your whole risk mitigation, the whole process. Exactly.
Right. Okay. So with your background, I mean, what led you to get into that?
Well, I'm former law enforcement. I was a bomb and arson commander And I did that for 22 years. And then I retired from that and I went to work for the sheriff's department.
Okay.
The sheriff asked me when I retired, he goes, "Where do you think you're going?" And I said, "Well, I thought I'd retire." And he goes, "No, come on down here."
Right.
So I ended up down there until about 2013. But I had started the process of working overseas on a lot of different State Department operations. They were they did not interfere with my sheriff's department work.
Right.
And the sheriff was very understanding about that. But I started doing that in 2006. So I ran all the way to 2018 doing State Department work. And finally, I woke up one day, you know, in the desert, and I looked out and I went, "Boy, let me tell you, I don't like this color anymore."
Yeah. Yeah. You must have been all over the world, though, right?
I've been pretty much everywhere except Europe. We don't do any operations in Europe, but all through the Middle East, all through Africa, all through Indonesia, all through Asia, all through those areas. Yeah. And multiple times in some locations.
Something tells me you weren't in Kansas anymore.
I was clicking my heels together. Let me tell you, there was a couple of times I clicked them so hard. I was hoping to end up in the end of my driveway, but
there you go,
man. It just didn't work that way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool though. I mean, definitely getting a taste of what's out there. That's pretty
well. Neat. You start to understand why some people like Americans and why some people absolutely hate us.
Yeah. We can be hateable sometimes, definitely.
It's really it can be a perplexing conversation at times.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I spent my 20s and 30s like just a workaholic, and I never really traveled until I got married. And when I got married, I started traveling around the world, you know, a few different places with my wife. And yeah, to see the difference, you know, around the world, it's
right.
Real. It's something you never realize. You know, how people view Americans. I thought it was really, really very interesting.
Yeah, it really is.
Now you're back and you're doing your own thing over here. What type of clients hire you? What does your client base look like?
Well, our client base is usually some sort of a corporate location right now. The schools are not doing too much because they're not in session.
Right.
So we don't do a lot of school or university activity right now. But we do have a very wide and very large client base that is all corporate. Mm-hmm. We've got some hospitals that we do chains. So they're on both sides of the state line
right. That
we do a lot of work with. And but most of the time, it's a corporate setting that we're in.
OK. So
usually the corporate setting is they're big. But they don't have an in-house security platform.
Sure.
So they'll contract with us because we can bring them an outsourced full-on security platform that all they have to do is ask for that particular service, and we usually provide it for them.
Okay.
It's kind of an as needed basis.
Right.
So they don't house the person, a single person in their office, but when they call us, they can get multiple people that show.
Right. So it's been my experience, I guess, with this type of work, and I haven't done much of it, but I did have a little taste of it. It's almost like don't ask, don't tell a lot of times with management. Like they really don't want to like know about their employees until it's too late. So. Well,
that's kind of one of those things, and that's kind of the challenge to anybody that does these types of investigations, especially a workplace violence type of investigation, is first of all, if the HR department calls you and suddenly says, "We have a problem," well, it's not that problem just didn't come in our office today.
Yeah, exactly.
That problem's been boiling for a while, and finally it's gone from the start of where the problem is. It doesn't go through any planning process, but it goes from problem to crisis.
Right.
And they're in crisis immediately when they call you.
Sure.
And they're like, yeah, we've got a real serious situation going on here. How fast can you get here?
Right.
And I'm like, oh man.
So do you get hired to do like monitoring of employees and things like that, like social media monitoring and things like that?
We check social media. We don't monitor it, but we do check it occasionally through these types of things.
Right.
A lot of times it's already, they've already done it. The HR department's already done the monitoring, and they'll show us clips of things on social media that they have taken a look at. But there's, like I said, there's no where it starts. There's no planning process in the middle, and they just go right ahead and go straight to crisis.
Right.
And once they get to crisis, they don't know what to do. There's no plan.
Sure. Sure. So for somebody who's looking to get into this work, they have an interest in providing this type of service. What would you recommend on how to start doing this type of work?
If you're already a private investigator and you've got law enforcement experience, or you've been an investigator for a long time, I would probably tell you to start looking at attending some conferences or Zoom meetings, conferences that are done by the Society of Human Resource Managers, SHRM, and listen to what they're doing or what they're saying.
Right.
And as an outsider, then you're thinking they're trying to put together a plan here, but they always seem to leave out the security side of it.
Right.
They talk about we're going to plan these terminations and try to avoid a workplace violence incident.
Sure.
They do everything but include the security or investigator aspect to it. And it, a lot of times that's the disaster part. That's where they're in crisis. Then they think about it.
Yeah. I just keep thinking about that movie Office Space with the dude that burned the place down because someone took a stapler.
Yeah. Well, that can be serious.
It can be serious, right?
If that's your favorite stapler, I mean, you know. Right.
With the Bobs interviewing everybody, you know, what do you do here?
Yeah.
You can see how that was the problem.
But it's funny that most people that get into this type of work, they have to be a good interviewer.
Right.
And to do good interviews, because one of the things you're going to spend most of your time doing is if you get called in on a workplace violence type of investigation, you're going to have to start interviewing. And this is not one of those things, you know, it's not a 1 hour police show where it starts off and you interview and by the end of the hour, you got somebody that's, you know, in jail. It does not work that way.
Right.
And trying to talk to, you know, HR managers or the CEO or the plant manager or whoever, some of these investigations can take 1 to 2 weeks just on the investigation side because you're interviewing everybody.
Sure.
And then you have to separate all of those interviews from what's factual and what's throwing me off the track.
So I'm really, I'm sure like social engineering and being able to establish rapport with somebody, that is a very important skill to have in doing this kind of work.
Very, very important.
Have you ever done any training with like human lie detecting or anything like that? Have you ever done any of that stuff?
I've taken a lot of those classes, you know, went to the Reed College on interviewing and interrogation, you know, both that and the advanced class. And, but I've never, I apply it, but I don't teach it.
Yeah,
I don't know that. Well, first of all, I don't know anybody would listen to me, but I've got a lot of investigations that have turned out well because you establish a good rapport with the person that you're talking to and then move it into let's gather some information here. Yeah. And it may be maybe several interviews before you actually get to the meat of what's going on.
Yeah, there's Stephen Komorek from Conflict International, WAD. He teaches human lie detecting, and I did an episode with him, and I've watched some of his videos on how to do this kind of stuff. It's fascinating. I mean, really, really fascinating. Just understanding what deception is and how to get around it is a super fascinating topic. And then being able to establish rapport on top of that, you know, without, you know, alienating somebody because they know what you're there for, especially if they're a guilty party, right?
Well, yeah. And if I have the guilty party in there, it's one of those things where I'll start the interview off with letting them know that I'm just investigating this. I'm not the police. I'm not an attorney and I'm not a judge. you know, no one's going to jail today. No one's, there's nothing that's going to happen other than to me. And that's gathering information.
Right.
And, you know, the more upfront you're in front of this train, then you don't get run over by it. So the best information needs to be factual and truthful with us. And then, you know, then I always ask them, are there any questions that you have of what we're getting ready to do? Right. And if they go, no, let's just get on with it. Oh, okay. Let's go.
Yeah. When I started getting into this field, I worked for a retail investigation company. And, you know, we did mystery shopping. We had undercovers and things like that. And we would do these integrity checks. And as I progressed through the company, I became the guy who started interviewing people after they were caught. And to me, it was always just amazing, the psychology behind it. You know, understanding the criminal mind on why somebody thinks they're entitled to take something or, you know, be deceptive about something. This is the 90s. So, you know, like there wasn't that much technology behind it. It was more the Reed type stuff. And they give Wunderlich tests before they hired people just to get a sense of whether or not they were actually good people, which it's just a bunch of baloney, you know?
Exactly.
But it was super interesting.
But that's kind of one of those things. And, you know, it's like, if the HR department or if the CEO wants results, you know, immediately, you have to kind of inform them that this is a process.
Right.
And we, it's not that we're taking our time, but we are, to make sure that we gather the factual information and separate the fantasy or the what's made up. Right. And we want to be as factual as we can. So when we present that information to them, they can make the most accurate decision. And again, that little tagline that we use, you know, we want to put you in a legally defensible position, because the biggest thing we want to protect them from is a wrongful termination type of lawsuit.
Yeah, I believe that. Definitely. Okay. So we're going to jump out and take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to start really diving into this topic, because I want to know more about this and how it all works. And we're going to talk about some experiences that you've come across in doing this work. So everybody sit tight and we will be right back.
After 4 years of development, Scope Now is proud to announce the release of Grid. Grid combines OSINT with real-time physical data to achieve new levels of intelligence gathering. Grid supports over 50 data types and hundreds of thousands of sources. Upgrade your OSINT capabilities with Grid and elevate your intelligence team today at scopenow.com. Check out the PI Institute of Education at piinstitute.com. Since 1989, Kelly Riddle has been teaching on subjects such as surveillance, nursing home investigations, insurance fraud, domestic investigations, hidden assets, and accident scene investigations. The PI Institute of Education is a featured learning partner in the investigatorstoolbox.com. So check out the free content on the site, then visit the Institute for more great savings on additional classes. Specializing in the research of liability for personal injury claims, Pacific Liability Research offers insurance assessments of all applicable liability coverages to help determine what a case is potentially worth. Have a case with no insurance policy? Since 2019, the highly trained staff on their insurance discovery team has located over 100 million plus in previously unknown insurance coverage. They offer a full refund for any inaccurate results, and they do not charge for no-hit searches. Additionally, Investigators Toolbox members automatically receive 50% off their first case. Just mention Investigators Toolbox when you fill out your first order. More information can be found at PacificLiability.com. Contact them today and discover the immediate impact that Pacific Liability Research can provide. Satellite Investigations has launched its new website full of great new content. Matt and his team have released some great informative blogs. Make sure you log into LinkedIn and follow Satellite Investigations for the latest content.
And welcome back to PI Perspectives. This is Matt Sperry, your host. We're joined today within the polar vortex by Ken Harris. Ken, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
So we're talking workplace violence. So walk me through how your firm gets contacted when there's a situation. How does this all go down?
Well, I have, this one is absolutely crazy. And this is how we get contacted. I kind of have three or four different scenarios of how we get contacted. Was sat down at the desk and it was 8:05 and the office phone rings. And on the other end of the line, a woman's voice just very meekly and quietly goes, "Come quick."
Oh, brother.
And I'm like, "Oh, okay, who is this?"
Right, exactly.
And she told me who she was, that she was in a program that I delivered to an HR group. She had my card, but come quick, and here's the address. And my biggest thing was, what happened?
Right.
Tell me what's going on.
Should I bring a gun? do I need a vest?
Yeah. Well, they had a termination that went very poorly.
Okay.
And on the exit of the person they terminated, he turned to them and said, "I'm going to get my rifle and I'll be right back."
Oh boy.
And that was the come quick reason right there.
Sure.
Yeah. Come quick.
I feel like people should have like a bat phone for you, right? You see a signal in the sky.
I'm like, you know, that's just one of those things where that's one that sticks with you forever. And that was like 5 or 6 years ago.
What happened? Did he get his rifle?
He did show back up with his rifle. And we did have the police department that was sitting in the parking lot before I got there and intercepted him and basically told him that he needed to leave the property. He was terminated and had to go away.
Right.
But the HR director that made that call, she was very upset with the police because they didn't take his gun away.
Right.
And the police told her, which was correct, that he did not exhibit any intent. It was located in the back of his car. It was away from him.
Wasn't brandishing it.
No. And Second Amendment checks in here, and we told him to just get off the property.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope. But we were there for 3 days doing a protective detail for 3 days to make sure that, he wouldn't come back.
Did you surveil him, like set something up where he lived and all that or no?
Right. And we were there at the company as well to make sure that if he slipped through somehow we would be there waiting for him if he showed up. Mm-hmm. But in the process of doing that, I asked the HR director, I said, "Well, okay, this went poorly." I said, "Did it follow any of your policies and procedures?"
Right. I guess you have your after action report, right? You got to go through and look through and see.
Yeah. Talking through that. And I got this blank stare from the HR director, and she goes, "We don't have any."
Right.
"We don't have any policies or procedures for this."
So crazy.
So they had no workplace violence policy. No. And it falls under OSHA, under that, the clause for, safe work location.
Right.
So workplace violence falls right in there. So that's just one of those, you need to do that. I said, "And we can help you with that." Right. So after our 3 days was up, I come back to the office here. I'm starting to put together some information for him. And I called her and I said, "How do you want to proceed on this?" And she goes, "We don't, we're good now."
Well, the next one, right? I think that's the biggest problem when you do this type of work is all these businesses are all reactionary. Nobody's proactive, you know?
Well, like I said, they went to crisis and now they're not in crisis anymore.
Yeah.
So they've taken it down a notch and so it's all good.
Yeah. It's must be super frustrating, man.
It can be. It can be. It's very frustrating.
Okay. So that's an example of when, you know, it's crisis mode here. Walk me through an example of somebody who's actually doing things the right way that contacts you to bring you in to set up a plan and how that works. What does that look like?
All right. Well, we just finished a 3 week operation in an industrial plant. They're a nationwide company. They've got 7 locations, one which is in Canada, which is one of their larger manufacturing companies. They had a complete blow up out on their production floor. Mm-hmm. And by complete blow up was it came to fists. We had car windows broken out. We had, yeah, it was. mayhem was going on. Yeah. And it was funny because the new CEO had been there for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And the HR director had been there for 4 weeks.
Oh, goodness.
And so everybody's new. But the CEO knew who we were. He knew our company because we've done business with his other company he was in.
Okay.
And he called up and it was about 10 o'clock in the morning. And he goes, "Hey, good morning." He goes, "Are you doing anything security today?" And I went, "What's up?" He goes, "How fast can you get to our company?" And he gave me the address. And I go, "Randy, what happened?"
It's the cuffs. That's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, "We've had a major league meltdown on the plant floor." Huh. So when I showed up, he wasn't kidding. There was 5 police cars in the parking lot. And it was quite the mess. So the initial thing was to work immediately with HR and the plant vice president of operations on putting together termination packages for the people that were involved in the mayhem.
Right.
And everything went through a process. Not only was security, our end, involved in this, but they had their legal department involved in it. It followed a guideline that they had. And when it came time to do the termination, they did them one at a time, privately, in the plant VP's office, and walked out the door.
Right.
So that one went smooth, and we have had no kickback, and we've had 4 terminations with that company so far.
Right. That's interesting. There's definitely do's and don'ts, it looks like, right?
They're trying to do it. And right now we're in the process of rewriting their policies and procedures on workplace violence. And also we added in something, and this is pretty important, that in larger corporations, when you have a woman in that corporation, in that the workforce that's in there, mm-hmm. that has an ex parte order for protection from the court for an abusive boyfriend, husband, girlfriend, whomever. Who usually knows about that is my question to the HR director. And they go, "Well, we don't know."
Nobody.
Go, "Well, so when that person shows up here at the building and asks for Sally, you're going to let them come in? Because that's what's going to happen.
Right.
You're going to let them in."
Yep.
And if nobody knows about this, and then the mayhem begins right there at the front desk all the way until they get to their target. And it usually results in a suicide by the shooter.
Right. Yeah. So
now we're working on policies that will, if you have an order, you need to report it to HR.
And that's a tough thing to do. Like, you know, you're counting on someone who's got a very uncomfortable situation, is probably very embarrassed by it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
What's right about it. But I guess if you have the policies in place, you're protecting your client, right? So liability-wise.
That's right. Well, and again, that's one of those legally defensible positions. If something goes sideways, it was done this way. Right. If there was a violation of the company policy by that person, then there are consequences to that.
Right. It totally makes sense. So let's pivot a little bit. Let's talk about COVID, and let's talk about how the whole work from home situation has affected what you do and what you're seeing. And, I would assume there's still, some workplace issues. It may not be hand-to-hand violence, but I'm sure there's some craziness going on. What has been your experience in the past year and a half?
Well, COVID has presented us with a few things. And one is dealing with the large corporations that we are working with. They're reduced down to about, if they have a building that holds 300 people and they're down to 30 in that, just the maintenance crew to keep the place warm and somebody to answer the phones.
Right.
So since everybody's working from home, if the HR department or anybody else in there has a supervisor of some sort, has a problem with an employee, and whether it's performance based or evaluation based or something like that, Sometimes there is no provocation other than it's just pure anger that gets the person in the crosshairs of those folks. But they'll use COVID as a means to eliminate people from their workforce.
Right. So just like we're too slow, we can't support your salary, beat it. Right.
Right. Right. So just, we're cutting back on the company. Everything's being cut back, and you're one of them. You're getting cut back as well.
Oh, and by the way, you're the only one. Everybody else stays. You got to go.
That's exactly what goes on. Yeah. And usually when that happens, there's kickback. Because people forget, you don't just fire that person, you fire the family as well. And when the family suddenly doesn't have health benefits or suddenly doesn't have the money to go buy groceries or to take their kid to the doctor, whatever it is, that gets people to do things that are not exactly right.
Right.
So it can be anything from that person probably that's been the problem has probably been downloading a lot of company information. And he has that information because he's still hooked up to the company computer from his home. So now your internal computer information has been taken hostage, so to speak. They have that. If they're a good computer person or they know someone, they could put a virus in there. Yeah, they can lock your whole system down.
The whole scorched earth policy, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. You mess with me, I'm going to mess back. Yeah, it may not be a physical altercation, but it'll be a cyber altercation. We got a couple of cyber guys that are in our company here and they're just scary as heck to talk to because they know things. Yeah. They know a lot more things than I do when it comes to cybersecurity.
Got to be nice to them.
That's right. So
make sure you give them a good Christmas bonus, please.
yes, sir. And so I'm very happy when those guys are involved because they can tell you where these things are coming from and what's going missing or what IP address this has come from. Right. They're good at what they do, but those are the kind of things that COVID has really caused a lot of reactions. There's been some other things that COVID has done which are positive, and that are some, if there's a bumpy situation going on in the office with, employees, male, female, now the separation, they can do their work and not be hampered by a person's contact or a comment or anything like that. So
it's very hard to have inappropriate touching when you're in different locations.
There is. And a lot of times, those types of things are actually going on and that they know they're going on. They just haven't dealt with them. And that's one of those, wow, now you've got a good separation. It's been a year and you've got a good separation going there. There may be, if everybody gets back together, there may be a rekindle of all of that activity when they show back up. Mm-hmm. So, HR and the plant managers and the supervisors all have to be aware of all these little nuances that are going on because it could start right back up again.
Right. So do you have people on staff that have like an HR backgrounds that are general or things like that?
We have one of our guys has an HR background. He's also a licensed private detective. Mm-hmm. He is very knowledgeable in especially setting up policies, procedures and things like that. Mm-hmm. for companies and dealing with, if an HR person has a question, they can call him and go, "Hey Vince, tell me, in your best opinion, what's going on here? What can I do?"
Right. So what do you see in the future here, this next 6 to 8 months, as we're slowly starting to come out, people are getting, their shots and there's that exhale moment of trying to get back to some sense of normalcy. What do you see forecasting and what you do?
Well, I can see, people reoccupying their spaces and trying, if there was a rub in there somewhere, or if there was any type of a situation, trying to make things better. In my opinion, this downtime and away from the office would give HR, the HR generalist that's in there, not just the director, but the one that's putting the policy and the handbooks together, to do a complete review of those handbooks and insert things or make addendums to it. They've got the time away. Now is the time to start planning for the return of everyone, so everybody understands that in the past, a year ago, this is the way it was, and we weren't that well protected, but we are now because we've spent time to put together appropriate policies and procedures, possibly training packages, so everyone knows what's going on.
Yeah, and then you got to incorporate, you know, wear a mask, wash your hands, you know, put up this protective barrier for each desk.
Right.
And, you know, the whole physicality behind it. I mean, that's something that, you know, I've seen in New York, you know, in my dealing, going into Manhattan, the offices I've been in Manhattan. I mean, it's like everything's all, you know, everyone's got their cubicle and all the way. And I was walking through Manhattan yesterday going to a meeting, and on my way back, I saw in front of a restaurant, they have these little tiny booths. Like it's completely enclosed with like a, almost like a triangle on top of the roof, you know, like a roof triangle for two people. Right. So they have like a little table with two chairs, and you basically get in this little pod to eat your food. And I'm like, man, I'm kind of claustrophobic. I don't think I would do really well in that thing. Yeah. I'd probably Hulk out and start smashing things, but it's interesting. It's a good novel effort, and it must be hot as heck when the sun beats down on.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Yeah, because it's all plexiglass, and I'm thinking like, wow, the ventilation, that's probably not good either.
Yeah, it's probably not at all. Yeah. Let's see. I had one other item that it was one of the worst things that happened, and it involved the HR director. That the construction company called us in. It was after they terminated the HR director.
Okay.
And the HR director had set up multiple shell companies over the years. So when the plant management or the CEO or the CFO would come to him, we need to send out this to do backgrounds on people. Oh, I have a company that's good for that. And it would go to his shell company.
Right.
And this shell company was making him a lot of money. Yeah. And it ended up where they had an audit that was done, and they found out that there was a bunch of missing money that just suddenly went away. Right. And so we have a fraud investigator as well. We have two of them, but one of them is a female. Right. And she's awesome. And she scares me, man. I mean, you know, if you ever
you seem like stolen you're pretty scared of your employees.
yeah,
very stressful for you.
You ever taken a pencil? Well, yeah, yeah, I did. You know, but it's office supplies.
Yeah,
they're disposable. I'm good. But at any rate, she's in there, and it comes to the point where we find out that there's $1.6 million missing.
Wow.
Yeah, this is not a lightweight deal. Sure. That involves the FBI. Then we were getting information from an outside source, which happened to be this is really convoluted, the ex-husband of the woman this guy was dating. He sends a packet of information to the company and says, here's all the companies he's set up. So what happens next? That guy goes off the rails. The HR director that got canned, he drives into the city, stakes out the workplace of where this guy was. He arrives to work. He gets out of his car, walks over to his pickup truck. He opens the door of his pickup truck and executes him right there.
Wow.
Yep. And then he's on the run that day. So now the CEO and the CFO have gone from right here to crisis.
Yeah,
they went straight to crisis.
Sure.
And so we've got five agents working that day. And because we figured, I told the CEO, I said, well, it's going to only happen three ways. It's going to be a suicide by cop, a suicide by the person that is doing that, or it's going to be suicide by the security detail that's here at the company, because he's probably coming back here.
Right.
And later on that day in the afternoon, quite some distance away, his car was pulled over because they had a be on the lookout Ebola report out on the air. And sheriff's deputy pulled him over and walked up, starts to walk up to the car, and the guy executes himself in his front seat.
Well, at least so himself and not the sheriff, you know.
Yes, he committed suicide. He did not involve the sheriff in the shooting.
Yeah.
And the CEO came up to me and he goes, we just got information on this. I said, yeah, I was going to come and tell you.
Yeah.
I said, but yeah, he's gone. And the CEO goes, you called that one. You called it correctly.
Yeah.
I said, well, it's not our first rodeo. These things happen. And if you don't properly plan for what's going on, then bad things happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the most serious one that we've had. And that was just probably a couple of years ago now.
Right. That's crazy. I'm sure you've got hours and hours of stories here on stuff.
I could keep going. I have a long list.
I'm sure you do. So, Ken, how do folks get a hold of you if they were interested in learning more about this stuff?
They can get a hold of us through a couple of things. I can give you my email address if you want that.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's K Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S, at, and this is long, Harris Associated Consulting.com.
Okay.
So it's K Harris at Harris Associated Consulting.com.
Yeah, we'll have
they
that
can, show notes. They can find me on the phone. It's 913-952-3055 is the office phone. If it goes to voicemail, which it does from time to time, because we're just all out working, they can call me on my personal phone, and I don't have a problem with that at all. But my personal phone is 913-568-4399. I'm always open to talking with folks, especially if it's a new client. Mm-hmm. We work, you know, all over the place. So, you know, we try and we, like I said, we just try and help people to get into that legally defensible position. Don't paint yourself into a corner. I had an HR director call, and this is probably 5 or 6 years ago as well, had an incident. It was a serious incident, and OSHA was there, and they called up and said, can you do a policy and procedure for us and backdate it before this incident?
Not good.
And I said, no, sir, I cannot do that. I love my licenses.
Yeah.
And I plan on keeping those forever.
Hey, you know, can you commit fraud for me, please? Thank you.
You know, it makes me wonder what are you thinking? But I know that they were past crisis.
Oh yeah. No, they were total freak out mode.
Yeah, they were totally. Yeah. And they found out that the OSHA, when it says OSHA inspector is coming out, it's an OSHA investigator.
Yep.
It's a federal agent that's coming out to see you. And the only thing they want to see when they come through that door is they want to see your policies, your procedures, and your training records. And if you don't have them, you're not open.
Well, Ken, this has been great. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk about this stuff. I think this is a side of the business that not a lot of people know about. You certainly have made a career out of it. It seems like you've had your fair share of war stories here. So I appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you, Matt. I really appreciate the time. And, you know, if there's anything that you need, you personally, or anything that anybody needs, feel free to get a hold of me. It's just one of those things where
policies
we're all in this thing together. And, you know, if we can't help each other, especially via IntelliNet or anything like that, we'll get her done though.
Yeah. And that's another thing. So IntelliNet, that's how we hooked up. Right. So, you
exactly.
know, organizations like that are so, so important, you know, and it was an unrelated question. I don't even remember what the question was. It may have been about cell phone records or whatever. And, you know, we just struck up a conversation, and it was very, very cool. So, you know, the associations like that, folks, if you're not members of the IntelliNets, the NCISSs, the, you know, the NALIs, stuff like that, like, you need to join those associations. They're worth their weight. It's a small investment for big returns. So.
Right. Well, most people don't understand. Everybody knows what Interpol is for police. It's an international police contact. That's what IntelliNet is for the private investigators.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an international intelligence. You can get a hold of anybody, anywhere, pretty much anytime.
That's a good one. Okay. All right, cool. So we're going to wrap up the show here. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll be back on Monday with a new show for you guys.
Thanks for checking out the show. Please make sure you follow PI Perspectives on YouTube or on your favorite podcast app. We hope you found this best of show helpful. We want to thank Campbell Insurance Group for sponsoring the podcast. Remember to tell them you listen to save $50 when you apply for insurance. An additional thanks to Scope Now, Pacific Liability Research, and the PI Institute for Education. Also, don't forget about investigatorstoolbox.com, where you can type in Perspectives 50 to save $50 when you join. Please also follow Matt and Satellite Investigations on LinkedIn. And if you have a question or a comment about the show, email Matt at matthews@satellitepi.com. You can also find him on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. We'd like your feedback to bring you the best shows possible. And we'll be back next week with a brand new show, so make sure you tune in and stay safe out there.